2 Samuel chapter 15, reading from verse 13. And there came a messenger to David, saying, "The hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom." And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, "Arise, and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly, and bring evil upon us, and smite the city with the edge of the sword." And the king's servants said unto the king, "Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint." And the king went forth, and all his household after him. And the king left 10 women which were concubines to keep the house. And the king went forth, and all the people after him, and tarried in a place that was far off. And all his servants passed on beside him, and all the Kerethites, and all the Pelethites, and all the Gittites, 600 men which came after him from Gath, passed on before the king. Then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, "Wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. Or whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us, seeing I go whither I may? Return thou, and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee." And Ittai answered the king, and said, "As the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be." And David said to Ittai, "Go and pass over." And Ittai the Gittite passed over, and all his men, and all the little ones that were with him. And all the country wept with a loud voice, and all the people passed over. The king also himself passed over the brook Kidron, and all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. And I want us also to read just a couple of verses from the beginning of chapter 18. 2 Samuel chapter 18, beginning at verse 1. "And David numbered the people that were with him, and set captains of thousands and captains of hundreds over them. And David sent forth a third part of the people under the hand of Joab, and a third part under the hand of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and a third part under the hand of Ittai the Gittite. And the king said unto the people, 'I will surely go forth with you, myself also.' But the people answered, 'Thou shalt not go forth. For if we flee away, they will not care for us. Neither if half of us die will they care for us. But now thou art worth 10,000 of us. Therefore now it is better that thou succor us out of the city.' And the king said unto them, 'What seemeth you best, I will do.' And the king stood by the gate side, and all the people came out by hundreds and by thousands." Amen. May the Lord add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. This morning I want us to take particularly as our scripture of note that second verse of chapter 18 where it says that David sent forth a third part of the people under the hand of Joab and a third part of the people under Abishai and a third part under the hand of Ittai the Gittite. I want us to think this morning on what I am calling when the king sees grace. What happens when the king sees grace? But before we go further, let's just ask the Lord to bless the word of God to us for Jesus' sake. Our Father, now we would pray that you will take the word of God and that thou wouldst use it for the glory of King Jesus. We pray that you will speak to our hearts. We pray that you will arrest our minds. May we pray that the Spirit of God will do that work that teaches us, but also preaches to us and draws us to love Christ and to set aside those things that are weights that do so easily beset us. Lord, bless this time then. Help me as thy servant, I pray. Allow the Spirit of God to direct thought and word throughout this time, we pray, in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. If you were to have to describe in very short terms the scene of the people in 2 Samuel chapter 15, you'd have to say that it was a scene of mourning. As those who named David as their king leave Jerusalem, they do so with the knowledge that Absalom is not far away and murder is in his mind. Let it be understood, the fair son of David was foul to the core. He murdered once and was set on doing it again. That is the scene. But I want to stress to you that the scene and the things that we see in that scene are but secondary to what we're going to consider today. I want us to see another scene that is far more beneficial to our hearts. It is the scene which displays grace bestowed, grace beheld, and grace rewarded. Now let me be more to the point. The scripture indicates to us that as David turned back to take one last look at Jerusalem as he fled from Absalom, he saw the face of his friend Ittai coming on behind. You say, well, how is that significant? Well, the point is, Ittai was a Gittite. This, I say, is an extraordinary sight. This scene is an extraordinary scene. This is a sight that could bring tears to the eyes of a man who cherishes the power of grace and loyalty. Let me explain. The Gittites were men of Gath. They were Philistines. They were men that were strangers to all the blessings of Israel. They were at one time enemies of David and worshipers of a God that was evil in every way imaginable. They were those that would well have been under the curse of destruction if the people of Israel had actually driven out all the pagans of the land when they inhabited the promised land. Also, you might remember that Gath was that place to which David and his men fled when they were trying to get away from Saul. He was in Gath for some time. And it was likely that there was some knitting of the heart of Ittai and his group of Philistines to David during this time. This is probably the most logical time for us to see Ittai being introduced to the sweet psalmist of Israel. But even more important and of greater note is the fact that Ittai's heart was knit to David's God. You say, how do you know that? Because he says so as he comes out. Well, you say, how could this be? David was in a moment of complete disobedience and failing badly during his days at Gath. There is one answer, and I want you to understand this. The sure mercies of David, that God had covenanted to be David's everlastingly, were sure mercies also for those that loved David. I want to make much of that thought, because I would suggest to you that David was a type of the Lord Jesus. The mercies of David were a rich type of the mercies promised to Christ, with the important difference that the Lord Jesus never failed as David did. And though he was made sin, he never was one who was in disobedience. But here's my point. How was it that Ittai came to trust in David's God? Here's the point that I'm trying to get across. Those that love the king will have the king's mercies. Those that love the king will know and have the king's mercies. Now, there are other things that could be said of these men of Gath. They were 600 rough and rugged men that had been with David for nearly 30 years when they came out from Jerusalem that day. From the days of Ziklag, they had walked behind David into many a fight. These Gittites had scars to show for their loyalty. But this procession was different. They were not going forward in ranks. This time they had their wives and their little ones in their arms. And you see from the scripture that David implored these men to return to Jerusalem. But their loyalty to him ran deeper that day than the valley that they were crossing over. They would go with their king. They would go with David. They would stand with him, or they would fall beside him. There was no turning back. We'd have to ask the question, well, why? I want you to understand, here is the product of God's grace. You might say, well, Ittai and his men were men of courage. They were men of dedication. Let me tell you this. God's grace goes beyond courage. God's grace goes further than loyalty. The grace of God that changes men from pagans and knits their heart to their king is a power that transcends the grandest of motives that men can think up. David didn't argue with Ittai. Rather, David blessed him and gave him his place in his own ranks. Ittai was the king's man. What I want to give special note to this morning is not the character of Ittai. I am not going to preach to you about a man. I am not going to preach to you about the character of a man. In fact, let me just say this. This is a by the way. I almost am to the place where I am persuaded that there is no such thing as character. Even though you hear people preach about it, they talk about it, there is really no such thing as character. No man has character. He is what he is. And he's made to be what he is by the grace of God alone. Paul tells us that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says plainly to those people, I am what I am by the grace of God. It's not because I have gone through many trials and had success, or I have had many hard lessons that I've had to learn, or I have had times when I have deprived myself of things and enhanced myself with other things, and therefore I'm better, nobler, stronger. No, Paul says, I'm weak. Paul says, I have nothing in my flesh. There's nothing in my flesh that is of any worth. There in my flesh dwells no good thing. I'm here, you know, I'm almost convinced that there is no such thing as character. It's only the grace of God. Why does Ittai follow after David? Why is Ittai the king's man? It is because of the grace of God at work in the heart of a pagan that changes him to a man who loves David, but more than so, loves David's God. The grace of God, the power of the Holy Ghost. That's what makes you what you are, Christian. That's what makes you useful for the sake of King Jesus. That's what makes you be able to stand when the day calls for standing. The grace of God. My point to you, though, and what I want to have you understand with me today, is how does the king react when he sees the grace of God? And I want you to think with me, because I'm not going to be very cute in the way I'm trying to put things together this morning. What you see from David is purely an indication of what you and I know from our king. When he beholds grace, how he reacts, how he undertakes, what he does. And I say to you this morning plainly, as the point at which we will prove that the king embraces the grace that he sees in those that are his, and he sets them in their place with him. The Lord Jesus sees the grace that is within our hearts, and he embraces and sets his people in their place. And I will tell you plainly that your knowing, and I want you to underscore this, and I want you to get this in your mind, your knowing how the Lord Jesus reacts to grace will change everything in your perspective and what you do. So I want us to think on just a couple of short points here this morning. And I want you to see what grace does and how the king reacts to it. The first thing I will point out to you about grace is that grace embraces a rejected king. Ittai loved David. In fact, I can say enough cannot be said of that love. And further, not enough can be said about David's loving allowance of Ittai and the former citizens of Gath to pass on into the company that was marked for death as those that pursued. I want you to understand that any man that will embrace the Lord Jesus, I say this emphatically, any man that will embrace the Lord Jesus is owning a king that all the world rejects. And this is a mark of grace alone. That a man would embrace the king that the world hates is a mark of grace. Nothing else can bring that up to bear in the heart of a man. Well, we have to say, well, come on. Does the world really hate the Lord Jesus? Well, listen to the words of Christ himself. John chapter 15, verse 18. If the world hate you, and that's an extremely strong word there. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Yes. Isaiah, you know these words. Chapter 53, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Let me tell you plainly, if you know Christ for who he is, the true Christ, not the one that men invent, not the one that men can say, well, let's copy him so that we can all feel good about ourselves. That is not the Christ of the Bible. The Christ who is the true Lamb of God is one who is rejected of men. And if you have a man that will embrace the Lord Jesus, it's only because of the grace of God. I would point out to you, using the picture that we have here, David was a king despised. Again, if you will have Christ, you will have one that is rejected and despised of men. What men looked at, what men were drawn to, what the men of that day were embracing was Absalom. Absalom, the murderer, had become the darling of the people. He had good looks and a magnetism that swayed hearts. And Israel no longer wished to be under the authority of David. At this point, I was thinking about making a side point about why do we see so many new movements today? It becomes almost ridiculous. The thing, every 2 or 3 or 4 years, you have a new invention of a new type. You have, I don't know, the emergent church, and then the resurgent church, and then the detergent church, and whatever else you want to, whatever it is. Here they are. Well, why is it? You want to know the real reason why we have all that? Because there's an authority problem. We will not put ourselves in under authority. We'll invent something for ourselves that allows us to go in our own way. Let me tell you, Christ is rejected. He is a rejected and a despised king in favor of the prince of this world. But the point I want you to see that's marked out in the heart of this man of Gath was the fact that David was despised did not matter one little bit to Ittai. It didn't matter. There's a work of love in the words that Ittai says to David. Yes, but I will tell you more so. Those words that Ittai says to David, that he's going to go with him wherever he goes. And if he dies, Ittai's going to die there. If he lives, Ittai's going to live there. Those are not words just of love. Those are words of the Holy Ghost at work in a man's heart. And I say to you very plainly today, if you will be saved, you will have to come to the Lord Jesus and embrace him, though it will cost you the world. You say, oh, that doesn't sound like what we're being told. No, the Lord Jesus makes it very plain. If you are going to follow him, it's going to cost you the world. Do you remember when the Lord Jesus talked to that rich young ruler who came to him and said, good master, what must I do to have eternal life? Now, what did he mean it or not? Well, the Lord Jesus puts his finger right on the point of this man's problem. If you're going to come, if you'll have eternal life, go sell what you've got and come and follow me. Well, you're telling me I have to give up the world? I have to give up everything in order to follow you? That's it. You know, the Lord Jesus also gave a parable about the pearl of great price. The pearl in that parable is himself. That when a man finds that, he goes and he sells, he rejects, he turns away from everything else in the world that he may have money to come and to buy that one thing. That's the Lord Jesus telling you. That's the nature of salvation. That's the nature of saving grace. A man will find himself looking at the despised Christ, the righteous Christ, the Christ that the world hates. And he says, that's the one for me. I'm going to give up everything that I might have him. That's the picture of this man from Gath. I'll also point out to you this. It was not only a king that was despised that Ittai was attaching himself to, but a king humbled. Before the eyes of the cursers, David is ridiculed. There was a reviling of David. But you know what? Ittai didn't care for the assessments of all the people that perhaps were. You know, it doesn't make any difference what you say about David. Come on out here, Shimei, and say all you got to say. All you lovers of Absalom, you say what you got to say. It doesn't make any difference. You know, men are often put off by criticism and assessments that they hear from others. They don't want to enter into a situation that will cost them esteem or respect or some other part of their life that they treasure. A man who is truly marked by the grace of God at work in his heart is going to say, I don't care what others say about the Lord Jesus. I don't care what others say the Christian life entails. I go with the King. I follow Christ. That is a mark of the grace of God. Nothing else. In fact, the Lord Jesus says, and you know these words, I read them to you from Matthew chapter 10. They're also found in the book of Mark as well as in the book of Luke. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. He that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. And here, I say, is a mark of God's grace. Grace at work will have Christ no matter what it costs. That's the picture here. That's what you see evidenced through this incident outworked. I will also say this, that Ittai embraced a king reproached. A king despised, a king humbled, but a king reproached. You might ask the question, what would become of one who was known as one who followed this outcast king as he had to leave? What would be the opinion of those who looked at Ittai as he took his family and his wife and his little ones? Well, wouldn't there be some, well, Ittai, what are you doing? You got your family to think of. You've got needs, Ittai. How are you going to provide for these? What certain future do you have? How is it going to look for you to leave Jerusalem and go after this king who doesn't even know where he's going? Ittai, are you thinking straight? Again, it didn't matter. Let them call the prisoner, the outcast, and the murderer to be their leader. Ittai says, I will follow David. I say, Ittai did not see David as the crowd saw him. He knew him to be so much different than the circumstances pictured. He knew that David was a great king. So is Jesus Christ. But our subject, as I said today, is how did the king see this grace? What did David see as he saw this man who had this working of grace in his heart? How did the king react to that? Or we may ask it plainly, how does the Lord Jesus react when he sees the grace of God at work in his people's heart that caused them to follow him? Well, you'd have to say, yes, there was the love of the most loyal and deepest sort. David loved this man. But here's the point I want you to see. David says to this man, pass on. In other words, he pointed him to his place. Ittai, you were a man of Gath. You were a pagan idolater. You were one that was going after the things of destruction. But now I see the grace of God at work in you. You come, your place is with me. Oh, child of God, may we find our heart resting there. There is no greater blessing to be known. There is no greater place than to be in the ranks of King Jesus. So I say, grace embraced a rejected king. Then second, I would point out to you this, that grace fastens on a remembered kindness. Grace fastens on a remembered kindness. Now, we cannot begin to list the personal kindnesses that were shared between David and Ittai. We have no way of knowing them. What it was that drew Ittai away from his world in Gath to join David cannot be known. But this can be. There was a work at one point that changed everything and knit Ittai to David. He was so changed that he left everything to follow. And so I would say this, then you can probably make some very good assumptions here, well-founded conclusions as to the kindnesses that Ittai knew. And I would say first among them had to have been this. Ittai remembered his acceptance by David. David accepted this man. Again, Ittai was a Gittite, a man of Gath. He was a Philistine who left the heathen to embrace David and David's God. Let me just simply say this to you. When the Lord saves you, He doesn't forget what you were. Sometimes we tend to think that that's, oh, you know, everything, I have to be completely looked at. No, the Lord doesn't forget what you were, but He draws you out of that. So that's no longer where you belong. You are not what you were before. He knows that you were a sinner. He knows all those sins, but He has taken your sins out of the way and He's nailed them to His cross. Yes, you and I were aliens to the commonwealth of grace. But even though that was true, Christ accepted us. Oh, may I underscore this. We tend to forget this, and this is a problem in the church today. There's a prevalent thought that the Lord saves you, but He doesn't really do or demand of you any more than just faith. No, let me tell you what. When the Lord saves you, He does not leave you to dwell in your sin. David did not leave Ittai to dwell in Gath. A believer is not left to enjoy his sin if he's truly Christ. The Lord doesn't leave us where He found us. But here's my point. But when you are David's, when you are the king's, as Ittai was, our king accepts us fully. There is no reason now for us to be parted. Oh, may I just simply put to you this. When grace is seen, there's a binding of the hearts. Well, somebody might say, but wait a minute. Wasn't I loved of the Lord before I was saved? Yes, but you didn't know it. You didn't discern it. You had no knowledge of it. It didn't mean anything to you. But when you're saved, it means everything to you. Being accepted of the Lord. Ittai not only remembered the kindnesses and his acceptance by David, he also remembered the trustworthiness of David. You know, if Ittai had joined David when Matthew Henry suggests, that was at the time when Saul was chasing David. And he probably had been with David well over 30 years. He had observed him. He knew him. And he trusted him. Now, did the trust that Ittai had for David only come to the point where he really did trust him as a process over those 30 years? No. David trusted him from the first. Excuse me, Ittai trusted David from the first. Otherwise, he would not have left Gath. He would not have been willing to face the wrath of his former homeland. How faithful has Jesus Christ been to you? How long have we been blessed to walk with him? Some of us for quite a while. For me, it's been over 50 years. He's been the same trustworthy King all through those days. And I'm not just saying it by my own testimony. There's some of you who have known the Lord Jesus for a long time and know that he is just as he was when he found you and saved you from your sins. Recall his faithfulness, child of God. Well, here again my point. When the King sees the grace of trusting, when the King sees that he is being trusted by Ittai, how does that work? What does that do? This. When David tells Ittai and his family to pass over, David is saying by that that he will care for his own people. Ittai, you are part of my people. I will care for you. I will defend you to the end. That's what's being said. That's what's being affirmed. Oh, doesn't that have somewhat of an echo about it? And having loved his own, he loved them to the end. Well, also I would have you understand this, that Ittai remembered his own consequent love for David. Ittai considered who David was to him and loved him. And he said plainly, I will go where you go. I will die where you die. The love that Ittai had for David showed. And I would have to say, oh, that we had a love for Christ that was as vibrant, as real, as strong, and as determined as that man had for David that day. But here's, again, is my point. When the King sees the grace of love for him, he remembers his own love for us. He remembers his desire for union with us. When he sees us lifting our hearts to him, he remembers his own desire to have his heart given out to us. You read John chapter 17, you can't come to any other conclusion but this. The Lord tells us plainly there in verse 22, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, and that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. There you have Christ remembering his own love. What is it that caused him to take this to mind? It was a consideration of what he saw being done in the hearts of these men by the power and the grace of his Father. Well, I will say number three. That here you also have a working of grace, that grace affords a real knowledge. Grace afforded a real knowledge. I want you to understand that Ittai's words to David that day, as he walked up that other side of the valley of the Kidron Valley there, were not just emotional words of the moment. Ittai was just not overcome with emotion. He just spouted out something. When Ittai said these words to David, they were well-reasoned and they were well-chosen words. And I say to you this morning that as you see grace at work, it was something that caused there to be a knowledge, but also a resolution. First, I want you to understand this, that Ittai knew that following David would mean hardship. You know, when David says to him, why are you coming out here? It was a revelation that there would be hardship ahead. And Ittai understood that. David understood that. And I say to you this morning that when you follow the Lord Jesus, the only thing he's going to promise you is a cross. But when the King sees grace, when he sees the grace at work in this man, he sees the labor and the hardship that will be the portion of his people as well. Do not be deceived, or don't think that the Lord Jesus is not understanding how you are to endure hardship. That is, he understands that entirely. The Lord is not ignorant of these things. You know, sometimes we imagine that the Lord doesn't understand how we're going through hardship, and we have to tell him about it, and that's the first time he knows about it. No, sir. The Lord understands that those that love him will be called to be those that are to face the fiery trial. Paul talks about that again, as I mentioned a moment ago, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the glory of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, and necessities, and persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Yet I knew that there was going to be hardship. David knew there was going to be hardship. This was a complete understanding. Grace allows a man to know these things. But this also comes to this place. It doesn't make any difference about the hardship, because the other side of this thing is this, that Ittai knew also that dwelling without the king would be impossible. You can't dwell without Christ. You can't have life without Christ. There is no meaning to life without Jesus Christ. You know, think about it. If Ittai had turned back around and gone back to Jerusalem, as David had suggested there, what would there have been in Jerusalem for him? You say, well, probably he was going to meet the sword anyway. Absalom would not have trusted him. He would have slain him and his children anyway. Probably so. But the thought is this, that if he were to go back, there would be nothing there in Jerusalem for him. There was his place, his life was with the king. It's like when Simon Peter says to the Lord in response to the Lord's question, will ye also go away? Peter says, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. There's a determination. Grace says, I can't be without Christ. Now again, let's come back around to the question that we have, or the subject we have. How does the king react to that? How does David react to that mindset? How does David look at this? Or may we say, how does the Lord Jesus react when this is true for us? When we realize, yes, we know that there's going to be hardship to follow Christ, but there's no meaning to life without him. How does the Lord Jesus look at that? I say, he says that he cannot be without his people as well. You say you can't be without me? Well, let me tell you, I can't be without you as well. Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. The heart of Christ is that he must have his people with him. Child of God, you are never forsaken. You are never out of the heart of the Lord Jesus. You are never one who is in a place where he says, well, you're on your own. No, he is with you even unto the end, as the scripture tells us. He wants us to be with him. The reaction of Christ to the sight of grace at work in the hearts of his people is that he wants us to know his presence. John chapter 15, I will manifest myself to them. Well, my last thought, and with this I'm done. Grace brought a royal kinship. So if you're trying to follow on, I know perhaps it's a little harder to see, but I wanted you to see what grace did and how the king reacted. Grace embraced a rejected king. Grace fastened on a remembered kindness. Grace afforded a real knowledge. And now grace brought a royal kinship. And here's where our reading in chapter 18 comes into play. In chapter 18, it speaks of Joab and Abishai being set over the hosts of the people along with Ittai. Now, the thing I want you to understand is this, that Joab and Abishai were cousins to David. They had a relationship with David by blood. But when the crisis came, and it was time to choose out those who were the most loyal to lead the army in a life and death struggle, Ittai was chosen to stand in that place as a leader of David's host. You think about this. Here you have Joab and Abishai. Yes, there. But here's the Gittite. Here's the man of Gath. Here's the pagan who embraced God by grace, is now placed in the place with these two men as the leader of the host in the battle that was the most significant of David's life. You can just imagine some saying, but he's a Philistine. Well, he's a Philistine no longer. He is David's man, and David trusts him completely. Oh, I say this. This is my point. When the king saw the grace of surrender of life, he put Ittai in the place of usefulness and honor. Again, I can't emphasize that enough to you, child of God. When the Lord Jesus sees in truth in you the grace of God that brings you to surrender all life to him, it will bring then you to the place of usefulness. First Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. You know this verse as well. Speaks of how the Lord reacts when he sees this. Wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed to thy house and the house of thy father, that they should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. The point I am trying to present to you this morning is this, that when our King sees the grace of God at work, true grace that manifests itself in a way that it did in the life of this man, when our King sees that grace at work and manifested through the power of God, he does not let that fall to the ground. He blesses. Ittai was blessed. Ittai was blessed with hardship and battle. You say, what? Wait a minute. Run that by me again. Yes, Ittai was blessed with hardship and battle. But he was also blessed with David's love and David's trust and David's affirming and David's knowledge of him and acceptance of him and giving him a place. Yes, the Lord allows us to see the hardship. We don't know anything else till that day we stand where all is rest. But until then, what keeps us, what fills us, if we are truly those who are Christ's men, what fills us, what makes us to be those who are satisfied, those who will stand and do what is the King's will, is the knowledge that the King has accepted us, though we were strangers from grace and aliens from God. He has made us to be before our God kings and priests. He has changed us. He's washed us. He loves us. And so we stand, and so we do what pleases him. We see how the King reacts to grace, and it causes us to be those who resolve even more to love him and be where he is and do what he says. If ye love me, keep my commandments. You do what I say. Well, may the Lord bless his word to our hearts this morning for Jesus' sake. Let's all pray. Our Father and our God, we would pray that you'll bless the Word of God. We pray that you will use it. Lord, we would pray that you will let us be those who can say of truth by the help of the Holy Ghost, we belong to the King. And we will be with the King where he is. Whether it be in hardship or whether it be in joyous blessing. Lord, I pray that you will allow the Spirit of God to examine every heart, that there be not one in this place who doesn't belong to the King. But then, Lord, we pray that you will minister to our hearts so that we might be able to go forward and be of use to the King as this man was. And this we pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.